Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life-style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay, thank you, Gloria. Hi, this is Robin Misevich. I'm one of the regular diners here at the Transformation Cafe. And we're coming into the Halloween, so we want to wish everybody a happy Halloween. We're a little bit early, but that's okay, because actually our next show will be in November, so I wanted to go ahead and touch base with that real quick. And we have a couple wonderful people that are here at the table with me. We have our guest chef, Miss Marvine Lindbergh. Hey, Miss Marvine, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I am fabulous. Thanks for asking. And one of our regulars, Mr. Jamie, is in the house tonight. Hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Mr. Jamie here. I'm doing okay.
He's doing okay. So Jamie's calling in from the Seattle area. So if anybody up there is in need of some kind of wonderful tattoo of just incredible artistic expression right there, you can go to the Ohm Chrome studio there and go ahead and be contacting him. And Ms. Lindbergh, she has a spiritual and psychic, spiritual insights, and is in the Inland Empire of California. So if anybody's wanting to get a hold of her, we'll have her phone number and contact information a little bit later. And one thing I really want to be grateful and appreciate, Ms. Marvine, is kind of going to be probably pop it on the show every other week, so coming in with some spiritual insights. And that's one thing we really want to be stressing and celebrating here on the Transformation Cafe, is really just coming from a very light and spiritual perspective on just some of the stuff that's happening on the planet. We had a really wonderful conversation a couple weeks ago about what was going on Wall Street with the sit-ins and all that stuff that was going on. So I've got a few little things tonight I thought we would throw out there and start getting some conversations kind of going on. So in any further insights on what's been happening since these sit-ins have really kind of expanded to a lot of other places in the United States, what are you guys thinking about that?
Jamie, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. There's still there's still an Occupy Seattle presence in the downtown area, although they want the mayor has acquiesced to have the people stay out of the park during the night and go down there during the day because it's getting kind of it's a public park and they need to clean it. And then they're still out and about, although I didn't notice as much police presence as there was generally. Other than that, I don't know.
Okay, and Ms. Marvine.
Well, you know, the biggest picture is the compounded energy of, for lack of a better word, this grassroots movement, because what they're basically wanting is they're wanting, I think you're seeing more people get more and more interested and involved instead of being so passive. I believe that they're tired of, and you know, it's really interesting to bring up a biblical phrase, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And if you really take a look at it, the house in Washington is certainly divided.
And
so what's happening with the sit-ins and a lot of the other things is that people are starting to take a voice. And I think I overheard something really briefly that people got kind of passive in the last generation or so, and what's happening is people are becoming more active and they're demanding more responsibility, more honesty, and more integrity.
And I was watching a little bit of the news earlier tonight, and it was interesting because they had an overnighter over this weekend over on Wall Street, and they had all the kids out there. So kids are going around with plates of cookies They were having sing-alongs and all kinds of stuff. So it's interesting how this, you know, you wouldn't have seen that in the 60s so much, you know, how this everybody's, you know, making it a family thing where, you know, the whole family's involved, their kids are out there, they're just, you know, getting themselves on a different level about, you know, it's not just our generation, but all these other generations that are being affected by what we're doing now. And I think that's really, really a good message for just on a multitude of levels, which is really, really great. So it's just kind of interesting. But it also along with, too, is just kind of like Jamie's saying, they want to clear out everything at night and have it where they can kind of clean up, do what they need to do. And they were also saying that there's a little bit of an evidence of a little bit more the police coming in and being a little more strong-armed in the Wall Street area. It's almost like it seems like they're antagonizing some of these people being, you know, arrested and things like that, depending what they're trying to do to control some people. So it's an interesting balance of what's going on different levels. And, of course, the press is going to cover it the way the press wants to cover it, you know. They're not going to cover all the warm fuzzies. They're going to be wanting to have stuff where there's, you know, there's some kind of violence or something like that going on more than anything.
Okay, but the other side of that coin, now to me, is common sense. There's implied responsibility if they decide to do that. They need to clean up after themselves. And the intent of it was not to stir up a lot of problems or hurt other people or things like that. It was supposed to be a peaceful thing. And I have a hunch, just like anywhere, when you have an energy mentality of stirring things up, and you've got a faction over here that has a tendency to go further than what was intended, you're going to have some of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because because what happens is, you know, it's just like riot energy. What happens is one or two start something, and then, you know, masses pick it up because it's a very powerful energy on a short-term basis. Mm-hmm. And I needed to qualify the short-term basis.
Yeah, that's all relative when you define short-term. So just kind of moving on, I was looking at some of the different things that, now there's been a lot going on. I mean, if you want to, like, sit down and say, okay, what are the highlights for the last week? I'm like, oh, my goodness. And we really haven't had Marvin on for 2 weeks. So, all kinds of things have been going on. Well, we had the earthquake in Turkey, which is 2 weeks ago, and actually they had a really wonderful story about a baby being rescued with her mom and grandmother today,
right,
which was very, very awesome. And loved that the baby's name was Azra, and in Arabic it means purity or untouched. So I thought that was just really interesting here. This baby had been untouched or not really, you know, it was affected by the earthquake, but yet here it was, you know, thriving and showing that, you know, even when a lot of people would have given up by now, I mean, 2 weeks, that's just really incredible to have something like that. And I think on a spiritual level, there's a really good message with that. So anything you want to comment with that, Marvin?
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that I saw, especially there was quite a few students injured and or killed, and they were living in substandard housing, basically, because they couldn't afford anything better. And it would seem to me that you know, on multiple levels, we have another, granted it's another country, but and another national disaster that is a wake-up call to the people in those particular areas and the wake-up call to the people of the earth in general. Mm-hmm. You know, there's enough money out there to go around, and there are a lot of people just holding on to it and not doing what they can to help others. And mm-hmm. a lot of those are major corporations, our churches, the list goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's happening with some of this, and it's a tough way to do it, but I believe it's a major, call it a spiritual wake-up call, if you will, for people to start working together again.
Right, right. Well, and it's really similar to what we're talking about when it comes back to, bring it back to our first conversation, we're talking about Wall Street, about, you know, having to be a collective. It's just really, really awesome to be having it on that level, so... You know, it's just a wonderful thing in having that. But and a good old Azra. Azra's doing alive and well and doing really well with that. So I think that's just really awesome. And it's just a tribute to life.
Awesome.
And yeah, exactly. So kind of moving into the whole.
Since you looked into this, I have a question. How often do they have earthquakes in Turkey?
I don't know. That's a very good question. And along with that, too, you know, one of the other stories that they were having was there's a volcano that's come into South America. So that's an interesting thing, too, that all of a sudden they just recognized that it's coming up out of the desert. So there's all these, you know, eruptions that are starting to occur. And all the, different scientists are taking a look at that, kind of scratching their head and going, huh, what's going on with that? So it's very, very interesting.
Well, because I pointed out earlier, a lot of these unusual things are happening in diverse areas. This is not a specific area. It's all over the world.
Right, right. Well, it's just like even one of the other things I think is really interesting, we've got northern lights that are happening in the deep south. You know, with the aurora borealis, you know, we've got that happening now. There was a big, because of the solar flares, the sun flares, there was this major light ups in the sky that was happening in Arkansas and North Alabama and Tennessee, and all these people are like, whoa, you know. So it's very, very interesting. But of course, we've been having this conversation for quite a while because of the fact that the poles have shifted, that there's a lot of stuff happening in that, you know, especially in the Florida here, and it's I'm sure no coincidence that the Gulf of Mexico had been affected on a certain level, even with the focus of, you know, having the oil spill. But along with that, all those things have been shifting to where, you know, airlines have had their landing strips and stuff have had to move because of the polar shifts moving, you know, the polars. And so it's just really, really interesting to see what's kind of happening on a different level with people being having to see stuff that's really happening. Because if you go online and look at that, I mean, it's really spectacular, some of these lights and things like that are happening. And it never before have I had something like that happen. So it's cool and a little bit bizarre at the same time. So, you know, that's kind of like par for the course. Okay. What's happening on Earth? Well, it's a little different and bizarre and never happened before. Okay. So, but that's all relative, too, because if you think about that on a certain level, it's like in our lifetime or maybe as long as we've been recording things on the Earth. For something to say it's never happened before, we really can't say that, you know, for just levels of record and having people being able to witness it on a certain level. The animals weren't writing things down back then. Who knows? It could have been happening before. So,
well,
there's
a shift in consciousness all over the world. It's interesting because this is a time of great, great change, and I think, you know, in numerous, numerous respects, it is a wake-up call for everyone, really, to put their priorities in order.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I was reading something the other day, too, that I thought was really poignant because it talked about, I'm sure that, you know, most of the people that are listening to this show, especially with, you know, with it being a transformation cafe, is that there's this longing inside of you wanting to know on some level that you've made an impact, you know, that you matter and that the things that you're doing are helping on whatever level. And what I was reading was very interesting because it was talking about those small kindnesses that you do every day. You know, doing something, you know, thoughtful for someone, or, you know, it's just those simple acts of kindness every day that really do change the planet. Because if we were that way with everyone, the planet does change. You know, you open the door for someone, or you let someone in your traffic, you know, you smile at someone and have a kind word, things like that, that just really can be just monumental when you look at it on a larger level with everyone being that way and knowing that way. So I just thought that was very... I think to remember.
I think that's very true. But I think one of my online brochures, the only thing constant there is change, and it's a willingness to change, and that helps us get to our higher goals. The real challenge, for lack of a better word, if you will, is that most people are willing to change if they're in the driver's seat. But if it's something that is uncomfortable or inconvenient, or let's say they didn't plan for it, they don't like it. And yet, in most of those cases, even if they didn't like it, there was some part of them that was asking for that change.
Right. Just want to remind everybody that we do have our chat room open. So if you'd like to go through Blog Talk Radio to the Transformation Cafe, it's available. Or if you want to go ahead and call into the switchboard, if you have a question for Ms. Marvine or any of us, you can go ahead and call 646-727-3206, and we'd love to go ahead and put you on the air if you have any questions or comments. We look forward to that. So kind of going back to that whole idea of the fact of change, one thing that I've been hearing lately, too, from actually a couple of different people who are more in the healing field, is they're saying they're coming across a lot more people who are dealing with grief and depression.
They're dealing with it, or they're experiencing it.
They're experiencing a lot more people coming in and noticing that that's a challenge, something challenging that they're dealing with. And to me, that made sense just for the fact that, you know, like you're saying, with change, there's going to be some senses of grief because things are ending. There is. When something passes into something else, there is that letting go of things. So there is a grief process.
Well, there is, but people have to, you know, one of the hardest part is to really get in touch with what you're grieving about. And that's a tough one because a lot of people may be upset about something, depressed about something, but what they're really upset about or depressed about is something totally different, and it could be something that has compounded, and it could be a number of different things. It could be something about a job. It could be something about a home. It could be a relationship. It could be something about eating habits or any number of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the tough part with it is to be really open to getting in touch with it.
Can you think of, like, an exercise or just some kind of a simple thing? Because, like, we're, you know, that's kind of a real open statement to say, well, being open to something like that. But if it's been a challenging, maybe a painful thing in your life, and it's been enough for you just to try to let that go on whatever level, can you
Okay, on one hand, that's correct. I think on the other hand, though, I think the first question that people need to ask themselves is, you know, what am I really feeling? It's not that the boss is an asshole or my husband is being an idiot or my wife is no good or however you want to put it. The bottom line, a lot of the issues, I think some of it comes back to control issues. And we, as human nature, to want to control what the other does or doesn't do, or if they're not meeting expectations or doing what we think they should be doing, and this is especially true in, let's say, the work environment, the home environment. You could take this almost anywhere. And the big picture is you know, what is it something you really can do something about? Or is it a change you need to make? But rather than saying, okay, this job isn't working for me, or I need to do something to work on this relationship, or I need to use self-discipline to, whether it's lose weight or exercise or get out there and meet more people or whatever it is, because ultimately what happens and we don't realize is, realize it is the solutions are already in us, but we have to be willing to look at what the real problem is. And the real problem is looking at the trigger that sets you off.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, okay, now what is this really about and what else is bothering me?
Right. So it's almost like following the breadcrumbs.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So those big old pieces of those big loaves of bread, okay.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because sometimes it's not a little bit of a crumb here, okay? It's a big loaf, okay? The way you can look at it. So there you go.
So this is Transformational Cafe, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to find it.
Oh, she's looking up. She's multitasking now. Okay, watch out.
It's a girl thing, you know?
Yeah, it's a girl thing. We got to multitask. Do you multitask, Jamie?
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Not all the time.
How many things can you do at once?
Well, let me see. I could talk on the phone, but I don't drive. I could probably watch TV at the same time, but and then I'm such a CD with the control. I just have to keep playing with it. All I do is surf the. Once in a while, I'll find my good program. I wanted to mention, how did your circle go?
The spirit circle that we did. Yeah. I'm actually
how'd
the wisdom
go?
Circle. Wisdom circle.
Right.
We had a wisdom circle. Thanks for asking. We had a wisdom circle last week at Flowers for You, which is my flower shop in Riverside, California. Marvin and I co-hosted it together, and it went very well. It went very well. We were real happy for the ladies that came, and it was really interesting because we seemed to have a theme of people really looking to. It's just like Marvin was saying. They know they have their own answers, like we all do. And they're just looking to have someone to help them to fine-tune those abilities of trusting themselves with what they know. And that's really what the Wisdom Circle is all about, because it's about that fact that, you know, we have all of our answers. But sometimes it's a matter of looking to someone who's figured that out in a certain way. So the conversation was very interesting about dynamics. And Marvin and I both took turns about talking about, you know, how we've both individually learned how to do that on a certain level for ourselves, and just a sense of maturity and growing through spirit. So it was really an interesting conversation, and everyone seemed to benefit from that. So it was neat for everybody. What did you think, Marvin?
I thought, in my opinion, it went really well, especially because the first get-together was trying to figure out where everybody was at and what they basically were looking for, and the interesting part when you work in that kind of with that framework, it's getting a feel for, because a lot of people go out there and collect a lot of information, and their search, whatever it is each individual is searching for, is different, and the paths they take to get to wherever they're at are diverse. And I think it's really, you know, the hard part with any of it is it's great to do a lot of research, a lot of study. Conversely, being able to live it and get in touch with it from an inside nature as opposed to an external nature. And what I mean by that, it's really easy to get caught in lots of externals, whether it's, you know, religion or various practices of any number of other things, as opposed to finding out what really feels right to you inside.
Mm-hmm.
And
for me,
and a lot of it has to do with, and a lot of it is programming and conditioning. And there, you know, and too often we have a tendency as human beings to. If we're told something often enough, or it's basically drilled into our head, then we believe that that's the way it is and what it is, and subsequently that's one of the things that creates, oh my goodness, so many problems and so many prejudices on so many different levels as a direct result of actually getting in the box and putting the lid on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
make
sense?
Mm-hmm. Did that make sense to you, Jamie?
Well, I think people, well, basically people, I think, should be a little, I mean, you know, have a self-worth and have a self identity and be able to be objective. It doesn't happen all the time, though. And it's always good to be a little critical, but not so much that you're by yourself being critical. And try to at least consider somebody's point of view and where they're coming from, and be open, yes.
I heard it once said that everybody can be right, because everybody has their opinion. It's like you can have your opinion and I can hear you, but I don't necessarily have to agree with that.
Right,
but
of course.
But I want to give you the respect. I'm going to be respectful enough that I want to be able to hear your opinion.
And as well as what said was about if you hear something enough, then you believe that that's true. But that's not necessarily true. So. Unless it's proven and then something comes along that upsets that, and then they have to kind of evaluate everything, you know?
Well, it's almost like, you know, Columbus. I mean, everybody for sure thought he had discovered America, and they're like, oh, well, maybe not. Okay.
Ah.
So it's like we have Columbus Day nowadays, and I look at that and I kind of go, well,
or like,
why is that a holiday anymore? That should be a holiday.
When they decided that Pluto wasn't a planet anymore.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way. Yeah. Well, you know, but that's, you know, one of the things that's really interesting with regards to a lot of those types of scientific things or those types of things, whatever you want to call them, is that, you know, for example, 1 minute eggs were a big no-no, and now it's not a no-no anymore. And doctors practice medicine. They don't pretend to know it. They just practice it. Lawyers practice
it, right.
Law. Okay. And because things change so rapidly. Part of it is things change so rapidly. And no body, you know, there are similarities in the body, but nobody is the same. And nobody heals at the same pace or reacts to medication. So there's a kind of what you call a law of averages out there, and let's say 60, 70, 80% respond well to whatever this is, but that doesn't account for the 20 or 30% that doesn't. And the toughest part is when, you know, it's interesting. I read an interesting little thing the other day about the ego, and oh, you guys talk for a minute. Let me think about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, well, we're down to our last 3 minutes. So, well, one thing I think when you were talking about that, about how things are changing so quickly, one thing that I think is just really fascinating is to see, for one thing, how Steve Jobs was celebrated right after he passed. And it seems like there's this continuing momentum of shows and books and all these different things that are just flying into the public about who you know, Steve was and how he was and all that. I was watching The Daily Show tonight on Comedy Central, and they had the reporter, he had written a biography of Steve Jobs. And it was very interesting to hear him talking about Steve. Apparently Steve Jobs was a very sentimental person. He cried a lot. He was very sentimental.
Well, he did.
If something really touched him, he would cry in public, and you know, that was not an uncommon thing for him.
No, and he practiced Zen. I'm a Mac user, and I go to the Mac store for classes and everything. And the day that he transitioned or passed away, it was interesting because the store manager came in, and there was a recognition by all the employees because they knew that she had just been to a meeting regarding that situation. And he was an absolutely amazing man, and yet he was a private person, and he, you know, and yet he had this wisdom and this intuition about him. And I say, you know, it's funny because I walked into the optometrist office yesterday to get my glasses adjusted, and they were talking about Steve. And I think, you know, he was one of the last projects that he started working on was a new type of television set that would absolutely astound the industry. I didn't have time to really get into the conversation, but when you take a look at somebody that has that kind of insight and wisdom, and basically what he did is he broke all kinds of barriers because he wouldn't take no for an answer, and he kept digging deeper.
Yeah, well, they say they were saying that too tonight. Is like he would get an idea and he would just have it. It's such a solid thing in his mind, and he would go and talk to all the different people that were going to be able to do the programming and things like that, and look at him and go, "I know you can do this. I know you can put this together, and how this is going to look." So he really held the focus and got everybody on board for being able to create things and just you know, at the speed of light. Considering, you know, some people would say it was going to take 4 months, and he said we can do this in 4 days. And they look at him like, what? But he did. He did. And they were saying that he just, his momentum for being able to create, especially his last year, because he knew he was running out of time. He just tried. Yeah. He had this ferocity about being able to do everything. So Ms. Marvin, will you please tell people how to get a hold of you if there's anybody wanting out there who's wanting some spiritual counseling and some psychic insight?
Oh, gosh. I think probably the best way is my cell number, which is 909-936-7133.
Okay.
You can also reach me through Robin's flower shop.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin, you'll have to give that number.
Okay, and again, that's Flowers for You in Riverside, California. The phone number on that would be 800-688-7887.
Okay, and also website is bitsofwisdom.me.
There you go. Say that again one more time.
Bitsofwisdom.me.
Bitsofwisdom.me. So, again, thank you to Mr. Jamie and Ms. Marvin for just a wonderful conversation. We're already at the end of our time, but we thank you, and we encourage you guys to go and check out all of our shows on demand. We've got some wonderful shows out there. So we will see you next time at the Transformation Cafe.
Take care.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand. Or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time.